Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 1:30 p.m. We are in Belt's Room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Monday, February 19th. Happy President's Day, everybody. Members present today are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Dunbar, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Senators Merrick and Bishop are in the Finance Committee, where I will have to leave for shortly. Please turn off and silence your cell phones. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to recognize and welcome our recording secretary, Lisa Denny, and our LAO moderator, Joseph Giesbrecht. Welcome everyone to Senate Labor and Commerce today. Today we have one item on our agenda, Senate Bill 144, rates for motor vehicles and warranty work. At this point, I need to pass the gavel to Senator Gray Jackson. Thank you all again for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. We have the bill sponsor, Senator Klayman, and his staff, Carly Dennis, here to present the bill. Senator, please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, this is Senator Matt Klayman. I represent District H in West Anchorage. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 144. Senate Bill 144 makes a key change to the auto warranty statute by adding time allowances to the schedule of compensation for warranty work. Thousands of Alaskans benefit from warranty work every year as part of their agreement with auto manufacturers from whom they purchase their car. By agreeing to sell cars on behalf of certain manufacturers, auto dealers take the responsibility for coordinating the time and labor spent performing warranty repair work on their cars. Warranty work differs from regular auto work in that the manufacturer compensates the dealer directly. Additionally, qualified dealers must work. They cannot refuse. Auto manufacturers compensate dealers for warranty work using time allowances that dictate the maximum amount of time that the dealer may bill for different repairs. Our statute already establishes a method for dealers and manufacturers to address the hourly rates for warranty work, but the time allowances that manufacturers use to reimburse dealers for warranty work are often much lower than the time allowances that dealers and independent mechanics bill customers for non-warranty work. As a result, dealers are often forced to pay their mechanics more than they are compensated by the manufacturer or risk losing their mechanics to independent auto shops. Across the nation, states have taken varied approaches to addressing how to ensure fair payment for dealers by manufacturers. Senate Bill 144 takes an approach similar to that used by states like Colorado, Montana, and Illinois by requiring that manufacturers compensate dealers for warranty work at the same time allowances that the dealer charges retail customers for similar non-warranty work. And with that, I will turn it over to my staff, Carly Dennis, to explain the details of this bill.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Carly Dennis, and I am staff to Senator Klayman. Section 1 of this bill amends subsection B to state that compensation for labor must include the rates and time allowances for warranty work. Section 2 amends subsection C to include time allowances in the schedule of compensation. Section 3 adds a new section, J, which defines rates and time allowance for the purposes of warranty and other work. Section 4 amends the definition of schedule of compensation to include parts, rates for labor, and time allowances for labor. That concludes our sectional analysis, and I'll note for the committee that we have several invited testifiers, and we ask that they be allowed to speak before we go to questions.
Thank you, Ms. Dennis. I have one person on the line that is going to speak first. It's Nicolina Hernandez. On the record. Thank you. We have invited testifiers, and the first one is Les Nichols Alaska Automobile Association Board President and owner of Fairbanks Nissan. He's also going to give a short PowerPoint presentation. Welcome, Mr. Nichols. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Les Nichols. And again, I'm the owner of Fairbanks Nissan and the president of the Alaska Auto Dealers Association.
Continue, please.
So if we could have the next slide, please. First, I want to thank you for giving us the time to come talk to you about this particular issue. And can I advance that slide from here?
Back on the record, please continue.
So the Alaska Auto Dealers Association is a statewide organization of auto dealers, both franchise new car dealers and independent used car dealers. We represent the interests and concerns of our state's auto dealers and promote best practices and providing communication to the state of the automotive industry in Alaska. And we represent our dealers' concerns to our elected officials. So the problem that we currently are trying to address is that in warranty compensation, manufacturers help themselves to a massive self-decided discount on the amount of time they're willing to pay a dealer to do a job. But not just the dealers, they also make determinations on how many hours that they will pay our technicians, and that filters through the rest of the service department. And this is exclusively for these warranty repairs. Automotive News in February of this last year interviewed a Mr. White, who previously worked as a field service manager for Ford, and stated that manufacturers aggressively discount labor time estimates. So they know how much time it should take to do a job, but then they aggressively discount that time as a cost-saving measurement for their organizations. Technicians often avoid working for dealerships because they're paid for more hours they get paid for more hours for the same work when they do it for an independent repair facility. When they do warranty work for the manufacturers, they get docked considerably. Their discounts shift the expense of warranty repairs from the manufacturer directly to Alaskan consumers, employees, and businesses. The problem is getting worse. These two displays here are the J.D. Power's initial quality studies. And what these show is the problems reported per 100 vehicles produced. In 2019, you can see that the best in the industry was Genesis, followed by Kia, with 63 and 70 problems per 100 vehicles produced, respectively. Fast forward to 2023, the best in the business produces 100 vehicles with 140 problems, so that's 1.4 problems per vehicle produced. So as they are coming off the line, we know that there are already issues to be addressed. And it's not uncommon for us to receive vehicles from the manufacturer that have to have warranty work done when they arrive. In contrast, you can see that in 2019, the highest problems per 100 vehicles produced was 130. Now again, contrasting to 23, that's 140 is the best. So the best number in manufacturing right now is 140 problems per 100 vehicles produced. The worst in 2019 was 130. So again, that places more warranty work on our shops. Automobile manufacturers take these discounts out of the hands of Alaskan employees and Alaskan businesses and the Alaskan economy to unfairly pad their bottom line. So how this affects our employees, technicians are unable to bill full hours for their work. This results in lower pay for them and the support staff that includes service riders and service managers. Alaskan businesses also suffer as we as individuals or as companies buy into these franchises. We do our best to hold them and keep them running. And Fairbanks, as an example, has lost Buick, Cadillac, Daewoo, Hyundai. Kia has been lost twice, Mazda, Mercedes, and Volkswagen. Right here in Juneau, Chevy was once here and is no longer here. Ford, Mazda, and VW were lost. Ketchikan lost Subaru, Ford, and Chevy. Kenai lost Chevrolet. Kodiak lost Ford, and Anchorage lost Mitsubishi. What that means is consumers went to these places, purchased the cars, and when they came back for service at some point, those dealers were no longer there because the model was unviable. They were not able to produce enough income to keep their doors open. Now those people have to send those cars somewhere to get service, whether that's in-state or in some cases out-of-state to get to a authorized repair facility if they want warranty work done. Or they have to pay for it out-of-pocket at another local facility, at which point they will be charged at retail rates and times. So the Alaskan consumers end up bearing the brunt of this because, you know, any business person will tell you, if something costs me $5, I'm going to sell it for $6. So when they take these discounts on our labor and the amount of time that they're going to pay us for the job, the result is that we have to offset that through the prices that we charge to the Alaskan consumer. So the Alaskan employees, consumers, and businesses are all paying for this. So the solution is this bill. This bill would require manufacturers to pay the same number of hours for repair. This creates a level playing field between Alaskan consumers and businesses and the manufacturers. They would pay the same hours for repair that a customer would be charged for non-warranty work. And by using an industry-wide time guide, we can establish what those times would be, rather than the manufacturer's discounted time guides. They have their own book that contains all of these discounted times. The bill would provide protection to Alaskans by requiring the manufacturers to pay equal compensation to technicians for doing warranty work versus non-warranty customer work. So the employees in our dealerships would earn more as a result of this change. The bill would create a level playing field for the Alaskan consumer by preventing the manufacturer from inflating the cost of repairs on consumers by discounting time from dealers and our service employees. A couple of important points. Manufacturers believe that they deserve a discount for the volume of work. They have very sophisticated methods for extracting discounts from us through our agreements, and they, in many cases, are not necessarily our biggest customers. First and foremost, the Alaskan consumers are our largest customers, and it is them that we feel deserve a fair shake on this. They claim that this is a money grab by dealers when we try and level the playing field, but when they take the discounts from our employees and our consumers and our businesses, somehow that's not a money grab. That's just the way they think it ought to be for them. The manufacturers know that the contracts that they offer are contracts of adhesion. What that means is these contracts are designed from a place that the negotiating is virtually non-existent. They offer it, we can take it or not, and we have really nothing to negotiate with because we are so individually so small in comparison to them, and we are not allowed by federal law to get together and do it as a group. So we have to come to you as our state legislature and ask for help from you in these matters in order to be compliant with federal law. When they sign them, they know that this is how we do it. So one of the claims we've heard is that, we knew what we were signing. Well, yes, we did. We knew what we were signing, and we knew that when we needed a change, that this is where that change happens. It comes with our legislative bodies and not through us working with them directly. They know that these protections can only be provided by state law. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols, for your testimony and the presentation. Our next invited testifier is David Bright, the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, and he's over on the phone. So, David, please state your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Bright. I'm a senior attorney at the Alliance for Automotive Innovation. We are the trade association that represents most automobile manufacturers, along with suppliers of components and vehicle technology. And I appreciate the invitation today to speak in opposition to Senate Bill 144. I'd like to begin by explaining our reference point. Manufacturers like their dealers. They want a strong franchise system for vehicle distribution. And our view is that automobile manufacturers and dealers depend upon each other for our mutual success. And that manufacturer-dealership partnership has been successful for generations. And today, dealers are strong and very profitable, and we applaud them for that. Senate Bill 144 is unfortunately not going to help that long-term success. As you may know, when a consumer has a problem with their vehicle and it's covered by warranty, the dealers perform the repair and then they bill the manufacturer. And as you heard, existing law spells out the process for that, including how to calculate the parts markup rate and how to calculate the labor rate at which the manufacturer pays the dealer. This bill would ultimately require manufacturers to purchase more labor hours from dealers than they're actually performing on our vehicles when they do warranty work. Under the current law, we pay the dealers the same hourly rate at which they charge the public for labor. We know exactly how many hours of labor we need to purchase because we have timed every single repair that is covered by a warranty, and we put those times into a time guide. and then multiply the dealer's hourly rate by the number of hours that we know we need to purchase, and that's the payment to the dealer. This bill would require us to buy more hours per cent working our cars, likely 50% more based on our estimates. It does that by allowing dealers' demand to be compensated under what we call third-party time guides. And those are labor time guides intended for independent repair shops to estimate how long repairs will take. Those guides do not actually time the repairs that are in them, their estimates. And importantly, the independent repair shops that those guides are marketing towards, they're staffed by mechanics who do not specialize in a brand, do not have the benefit of special tools for that brand, which often speeds repairs, and they also work on older, higher mileage cars that take longer to repair. I want to be clear, we have zero interest in undercompensating dealers for warranty work. Indeed, every single manufacturer has a mechanism in place today for dealers to request more time when a particular customer's vehicle is taking longer than the guide says it will. And we also have a mechanism in place for dealers to ask for a review of our labor entries if the dealer thinks our guide is wrong. And the system that we have works well. Last year, we hired a firm to do a blinded study of dealer financial statements, and it found that the average dealer in this country makes a 78% gross profit margin on warranty labor work, which did not surprise us, because warranty work is a guaranteed source of business that pays the dealer at its retail rate and has no advertising or business development costs associated with it. I want to note one more thing that's important. We do not pay technicians directly. We pay dealers. We have no control over how they compensate their employees. We simply know that we do not want to pay for labor hours that were not actually spent working on our vehicles. It's also important to note that this bill is not reflective of the norm in the country. There are only four states in the country that have a similar law to this, and one of them is currently being challenged as unconstitutional in federal court. Last year, 11 states considered this time guide issue. 10 of them, both red and blue states, did not pass it. Senate Bill 144 is, frankly, not necessary for the continued profitability of both manufacturers and dealers who, as I said, rely upon each other for our success. And so again, manufacturers, we do not support Senate Bill 144, and we respectfully urge you to not pass it from committee. Madam Chair, I appreciate the time today. Now we go to questions.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Bright. I'd like to recognize that Senator Bishop joined the committee at 1:47 p.m. Are there any questions for Mr. Bright? Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Bright, I don't know if you could see or tracking the hearing, so you saw the previous presentation, but on slide four of the previous presentation, there are studies from 2019 and 2023 from J.D. Power and Associates talking about initial quality. And it's really a dramatic change, you know, where you go from the worst, which is Jaguar, which is funny given their reputation, the worst brand in 2019 has a better score than the best brand in 2023. And I was just sort of wondering, to what do you ascribe this remarkable change in the number of, you know, the number of problems for per vehicle?
Through the chair, Senator, I'd be happy to speculate, but that's all I can do is speculate. But I would note two things that have occurred in the last or during that time frame. One is the considerable chip shortage that was caused by COVID. The other is the rollout of electric vehicles. But I have not seen that J.D. Power study. I also could hear the testimony, but I could not see the slides. So we have to go back and dig into that. I do want to stress, though, that, again, regardless of the number of warranty repairs per vehicle, that does not mean that the manufacturer is going to shortchange dealers on the number of hours that it would take the dealer to repair those vehicles.
Another question, Madam Chair. So you mentioned the independent dealerships and the time it takes them. You said there are specialized tools needed to do some of that work. Do you offer those independent mechanics those tools? Are they able to buy or acquire those tools or the software needed to do all the repairs on your vehicles?
Through the chair, Senator, with respect to the special tools, I would need to get back to you on that. With respect to the information, independent repair shops have access to all of the information to repair a vehicle that a dealer would. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all the questions I have for now. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Bright, is that right? Is that good? Oh, I just got in late. I was in another committee, but I caught the tail end of your conversation. My first question is, have you ever been to Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator, yes, I have. I've been to both Chinook and Anchorage.
And you've been here when it's 50 below like it was 3 weeks ago, and you've toured these shops and to see what these dealers are up against?
Through the chair, Senator, both times that I've been to Alaska was either in January or February. So I have experienced the Alaska winter.
And would you agree Alaska is different than the lower 48?
Through the chair, Senator, Alaska definitely does have unique characteristics to it, but there are also very cold temperatures in states like North Dakota, for example, South Dakota, other areas in the United States.
Have you guys ever thought about your organization you're representing? Have you ever thought about, because we are different and our congressional delegation says it every day on the floor in the halls of Washington, D.C., have you considered having an Alaska exclusion?
Through the chair, Senator, I don't know what type of exclusion you would be contemplating.
Handicapping them for Alaska's harsh climates and conditions, and to up the hours for a particular job as it pertains, pick your poison, just doing an R&R on an engine on a light-duty half-ton pickup truck, just as an example.
Through the chair, Senator, I don't think so, and the reason for that is we have not been shown that our time guys are wrong or that our remedies for the DO to avail themselves of when a repair is taking longer is not working.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Dimbor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Bright, for your testimony. And, you know, this is a sort of a novel area of the law for many of us. We aren't involved in this every day. And so you described your time guides, and I'm sort of wondering, and this goes to Senator Bishop's point about the conditions in Alaska, but conditions in general, you know, I'm wondering how you arrive at those times. That is, you know, do you take into account, you know, not everyone has quite the expertise that you have, or actually one of the questions I'm asking is, do you pay for diagnostic time? That is, you know, you go in with a problem in your car, you don't actually know what the issue is necessarily, but you're under warranty. Do your time guides take into account how many hours it takes to figure out what's wrong? And if so, sort of how does it work? Because it would vary pretty greatly based on the issue and how long it takes to discover it.
Through the chair, Senator, our time guides take into account everything from pulling the car in out of the lot, setting it up, figuring out what the problem is with the vehicle. It even includes bathroom breaks for technicians. The way that the manufacturers arrive at their time allowances, none of them use air tools, for example. They use hand tools. It's really designed to be something that any technician who is authorized to work on our cars should not just be able to meet those times, but actually beat them. And when they do beat them, we still pay for the full amount of time in our time guide. But again, it's something that is not a thumb on the scale. It is objective. It's measured. Importantly, we are the only ones who actually time these repairs. But again, every single person who does a warranty repair for a manufacturer should either be able to meet or beat those times.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you again, Mr. Wright, for your testimony. Our next invited testifier is Aaron Seekins from Seekins Ford, and he will be over Teams. Mr. Seekins, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
For the record, my name is Aaron Seekins. I am the Customer Relations Manager of Seekins Ford Lincoln in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for your time today. I'd like to talk real quick about some of the stuff Mr. Bright just brought up. As a dealer in Fairbanks, Alaska, we have unique circumstances and situations with our cold weather climate. I also believe that the manufacturers do not give you time to pull the vehicle into the shop, thaw it out, as we might have to up here. Also, when we talk about some of the handicaps, the manufacturer may provide us special tools, as what was brought up. But one of the things that the manufacturer does not compensate us or talk about is the requirement that we have for our technicians, training. So in order for us to be able to work on a warrantable repair for a vehicle, we have to send our technicians outside for training. This costs us thousands and thousands of dollars between, you know, per diem, airfare, food, everything that goes along with it. Plus, we have to pay them while they're there in training in order to just be recompensated at a warranty labor rate or a time allowance that is less than what the independent dealer down the road has that he gets for his untrained, uncertified technicians. So this is one of the other areas that we're constantly battling as far as trying to be competitive with those tech for those technicians in order to pay them and compensate them properly. One of the other things is this relationship that we have had, so with my manufacturer, has always been a great relationship. We still have a great relationship, even though we are continually looking at ways that we can be profitable within our dealer environment. Even if as we're being profitable, as Mr. Bright just said, so are the manufacturers. Even with EV and some of the manufacturers in the news these days losing billions of dollars to the EV market, if you look at the what we call the gas engine side of it, ICE is what it's been referred to as internal combustion engines, we are still making money, both dealer and manufacturer. This isn't a profit grab. This is us trying to be able to hire technicians, pay them the same that we can get down the road, and be competitive with everybody else. And the more technicians that I have in our facility, the more I'm able to take care of the Alaska consumer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Seekins. Does the committee have any questions for Mr. Seekins? Senator Bishop.
Mr. Seekins, do you support the bill in its present form?
I definitely do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next invited testifier is in the room. Martin Martinson, owner and general manager of Continental Auto Group. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Martin Martinson. I am a member of the Alaska Auto Dealers Association and owner of Continental Auto Group in Anchorage, Alaska. Madam Chair, thanks for hearing us today and letting us have the opportunity to present the bill. Alaska is very unique, and we all understand that. And with cold temperatures, we have more warranty work than any other state. Something that I would ask the gentleman from the Auto Alliance, why don't technicians like to do warranty work if it pays so well? And there is a technician in this room, and he'll give them the opportunity, and he will tell you the same thing. They lose money doing warranty work. As a general rule of thumb, I have told my service director in my company, we will not lose a technician over hourly pay, because they are getting bombarded right now from the oil companies with Pika and Willow coming on, with the mining industry. Everybody needs these technicians. The manufacturers know this is a grave concern to them and to us. And we have to pay our technicians the competitive rate. So it is on us to keep our technicians. And the only way we can do that is if they're compensated more for warranty work. Otherwise, we are going to lose them. And what are the manufacturers going to do then when we cannot perform warranty labor? And it is an absolute problem that we are facing, and it's one that we can only fix at the state level. And the fact that he also said there are only a couple other states that have it, the fact is every state is working. And there are many reasons why they haven't been successful. And part of that, I mean, the NADA has been helping us, you know, to put in the bill what they think is feasible and what we can pass. So it's a grave concern, and I hope you will support it and we can move forward. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Mortensen. Any questions for Mr. Mortensen? Our next invited testifier is Lane Nichols, dealer principal from Jean's Crystal Dodge Jeep Ram in Fairbanks. We're back on the record. Our next invited testifier won't be Mr. Nichols, but it will be Susan Hicks, Service Director from Jean's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Susan Hicks. I'm the Service Director at Jean's Chrysler in Fairbanks, Alaska. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to hear us today and start. One of the points that the gentleman brought up was they have mechanisms for us to be compensated, or the technician to be compensated for diagnostic time, which he says is included in the labor operation to actually perform a repair. For my dealership in particular, we're given a bucket of time for a quarter. Our bucket of time is a total of 30 hours. When you're writing 30, 25, 30, 35 repair orders a day, that diagnostic time goes away very quickly. Anything above and beyond that, we have to get the manufacturer's authorization to do so. As far as their times being fair, I'm not sure where he gets that. When my technician has a pull in, or tow in, a vehicle that's been sitting outside at 50 below, it has to warm up before he can touch anything. Otherwise, he burns his hands. So there's hours on a rack that we can't do anything. That rack is non-productive. Then if the manufacturer, let's say a long block, if we're replacing a long block, to do that diagnostics on that long block, you may have to pull the head. You may have to pull the oil pan. They're still going to pay the exact same rate that their labor time says it's going to pay. It does not compensate him for pulling that and then having to put it back together to ship it back to the manufacturer. So they will pay my technician 9.5 hours to replace a long block on a half-ton truck. An independent repair facility pays their technician 29.5 hours. How is that fair? If that independent repair facility buys that part from us and it has a Mopar warranty on it and that fails, that job is then done at the discounted rate by my technician. I'd also like to address the special tools. Special tools, yes, they send us special tools, but we pay for those special tools. A very good prime example of what I'm trying to say here is that we have a battery lift table for EV batteries. We've had it for several years, but they required a new one this year. Now, mind you, it could only lift 300 pounds more than the one that we already had, and that was a $16,000 table. I had one already. Why did I need another one for 300 pounds? We've invested, I can't tell you the amount of money we've invested in special tools. We don't have the option to opt out of those tools. They get sent, we get billed. Technician training, again, that's on us. All of those dollars come out of that. What did he say, 78% profit margin? All of those dollars come out, and including my advisor's pay, my support staff pay, and the pay that I have to have a warranty agency look over everything, to dot every I, cross every T. Because if we don't, we don't get paid. So I don't see how the manufacturer can say that their time guides are correct, because they do not account for anything, any of the things that we're having to do on a day-to-day basis, especially here in Alaska. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hicks, for your testimony. Any questions for Ms. Hicks? I have a quick question. So how long does it take to receive the report? I mean, I'm sorry, how often does it take to receive the reports on the vehicles?
I'm not sure.
I'm probably not reading the question correctly. Thank you. Give me a moment, please. How often do you receive reports on how long it takes to inspect vehicles? Sorry for my misinterpretation of my notes.
So the way that it is set up, the best way I can explain it, it's not a matter of receiving reports. So the way that it is set up through our particular manufacturer is that, let's say, for instance, we're replacing a CV axle on a vehicle. So each repair has a labor operation associated with that repair. So you go to that labor operation, and it tells you the amount of time that it will pay. Now, those can change on a day, month-to-month basis. We're not notified of those changes in a report per se. We just know that there's a change once we run that labor operation to find out what the what we're going to be paying that technician for that time.
Thank you. I just have a comment. I have a warranty, a personal comment warranty on my vehicle, and every now and again I bring it in for servicing. But I am learning so much, because I had no idea of the backroom stuff that takes place. So thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. We have one last invited testifier, Luke Kincaid, Master Technician from James Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Luke Kincaid from James Chrysler. Been a technician there for a very long time. On behalf of this bill, I can speak on tons of things in regards to warranty labor times versus customer pay times. We've spoke a lot about Alaska being a unique environment. One that comes in particular would be, say, a diesel exhaust fluid pump. If I had to replace that on a pickup truck, it pays me 42 minutes to bring it in, diagnose it, replace it, verify the repair, prime the system, and get it out of the shop. If I pull that truck in the middle of January, that pump is encapsulated in the DEF tank. DEF is made of 67.5% pure distilled water. And what does that do in January? It freezes. So now in 42 minutes, I got to find a way to get this pump out of a 5.3-gallon block of ice. So there's that. There's multiple things like software updates. Okay, a lot of our new problems are fixed with software updates. One in particular, we had a recall where it was updating the occupant restraint control module. They pay 18 minutes to do that repair. If I pull that vehicle in the middle of, say, February, I can do the software update, no problem. But after that, you have to do what they call an ABS initialization. Okay, in order to do that, the hydraulic control unit for the ABS has to be over 60 degrees ambient. And if that truck sat outside at negative 50, that's going to take a lot longer than 18 minutes inside the shop. You know, and even getting to some of like our non-Alaska exclusive repairs, if I were to do, say, rear axle seals on a 2018 Ram pickup, it pays 1.3 hours per side. But if I go to a 2019 pickup that runs the exact same axle, no change in brakes, no change in any of the parts, nuts, bolts, torque specs, anything, it only pays 1.1. So where did the change come from? It seems like they're finding ways to lower our times, but at the same time, I'm expected to perform these times that they allot just because I've been through the training and I'm qualified, as opposed to some of my coworkers that haven't yet been through the training. Go ahead.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Kincaid, and also your service. Does anybody have any questions, Senator Dunbar?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Kincaid, for your testimony. I'm curious about the software updates. Are you provided, whether it's a thumb drive, or are you provided the software on a physical media by the manufacturers, or is it cloud-based?
So it's kind of cloud-based. We have a little apparatus that we plug into the vehicle, and it connects to the, the computer through the internet, and then we can access their proprietary software to take the update, then program it into the vehicle.
Can I ask a follow-up, Madam Chair? So I guess my what I'm getting at is we have significantly slower internet speeds here in Alaska than most other parts of the country. Does that mean that those updates take longer to download, or are they sort of pre-downloaded and this really isn't an issue?
No, they download at the current internet speed.
Okay, so that's another way in which Alaska probably takes longer than Absolutely. The rest of the country. Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you again, Mr. Kincaid, for your testimony. Are there any further questions for the sponsor? If not, I will open public testimony on SB 144. Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify? Is there anybody online? There is one person online, correct? Online, we have Nicolina Hernandez, Regional Director of Government Affairs for Toyota Motors. Ms. Hernandez, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Nicolina Hernandez, Regional Director of State Government Affairs for Toyota. I cover the western states, including Alaska. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts on Senate Bill 144. We see Toyota and Lexus dealers as our partners. It's really our priority that they're properly reimbursed for the warranty work they perform. It's an important service. It helps ensure driver safety and build trust in our brand. As background for Toyota's allowances in general, it does include a number of items, including prep and diagnostic time, time to conduct all steps of the repair, including a 20% buffer that we add to account for any kind of interruptions, whether they're weather-related or related to aging parts and other unforeseeable components. Our concern is that the bill ignores the time it actually takes to repair vehicles. It seems like it establishes, the way the language is drafted, an incentive for dealers to increase prices on Alaskan drivers and overall in agreement with the Auto Alliance, and that this is a solution in search of a problem. For Toyota, our time allowances approximate the amount of time a repair should take, and this bill totally abandons that approach and ignores the actual time a technician takes. This would result in higher prices and higher costs on drivers and encourages dealers to charge as much time as possible, regardless of how much time was really spent on servicing a car or truck. As mentioned, we have an appeals process if additional time is needed for such things as allowing a car time to warm up. What they do is send through an electronic system this basic explanation, including documentation for any number of items. At that point, our quality assurance team reviews it, and it's within everyone's interest that they are fairly compensated for their labor and time. Lastly, we are sympathetic to the workforce concerns and unique circumstances in Alaska, but as was mentioned, technician pay is determined by the dealer. It's an HR decision, not a manufacturer mandate. Toyota will fully compensate warranty work if dealer A pays their technician $15 an hour and fully compensates warranty work if dealer B pays their technician $40 an hour. But to conclude, we don't believe this bill is necessary, and if it was passed, it would create as much as 40 or 50% more in costs, not just to the auto industry, but also to your constituents who service their cars and trucks at dealerships. We're here today because we're committed to supporting our dealer partners. We want to work in good faith and find solutions that put Alaskan customers first. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Hernandez. Are there any questions? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hernandez, what was Toyota's net profit last year in the United States?
Through the chair, Senator, I unfortunately don't have that information in front of me.
Thank you. Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Certainly.
Ms. Hernandez, have you ever sent your team to Alaska in the dead of winter and tried to perform the same technical procedure on a vehicle and under our conditions and time that procedure with your test mechanic against what it really, you know, what it takes our people to do it up here in the dead of winter and put a side-by-side comparison on your book?
Through the chair, Senator, I'm not aware. I would like to say that I'm relatively new to the Toyota Government Affairs team. I think that's an excellent question. I'm happy to take that back and double check and make sure that I can provide that information to you. However, if there are additional time due to weather conditions, we would reimburse that through that appeals process. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you could get those two questions answered into the chair, to the committee, so it could be distributed, that would be greatly appreciated.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you again, Mr. Hernandez. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hernandez, for your testimony. I was listening to your discussion about prices for consumers, and I have a sort of clarifying question and then a follow-up. So when you are setting these warranties, do you set it specific to a state based on state law, or are there standard warranties that come with your vehicles sort of nationally? And similarly, the price of the vehicles, you know, when you send it to a dealer in, you know, in Oregon versus in New Mexico, is it the same price nationally, or do you tailor it based on the state?
Through the chair, Senator, I do not have that information. I might defer to David Bright with the Audio Alliance, but happy to follow up as well with those questions.
Can I direct that, Madam Chair? Mr. Bright, are you still online?
Through the chair, yes, Senator, I'm still on.
Did you hear my questions?
I was cut off during the second half of your question.
So my question was about prices on warranty products and also the cars and trucks themselves. Do your members, and it might vary by member, but do they tailor the prices based on the state, or are there sort of national policies and national prices that your dealers receive and your consumers receive?
To the chair, Senator, the industry norm is that there is one price for the wholesale the wholesale price of the vehicle, which is the price our dealers pay. There's one price for the country.
Great. Thank you very much. Can I return to Ms. Hernandez?
Certainly.
Thank you. Mr. Hernandez, I think you said you were the western side of the United States. Does that include Colorado or Montana?
It does not.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, do you happen to know if has Toyota stopped selling cars in either Colorado or Montana?
Through the chair, Senator, to my knowledge, we have not.
And so there's one national price, and so the consumers in Colorado and Montana get, the dealers get the same wholesale price as nearby states. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator, I believe so.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your time.
Thank you again, Ms. Rodriguez. Hernandez, sorry about that. I just got a note that we're still in public testimony. Mr. Luke Kincaid would like to come back under public testimony and make a few more comments, and I'm going to allow you to do that. So please come to the table and state your name again for the record.
Thank you, madam. My name is Lucas Kincaid. A couple of other things to bring to the attention with what's going on. You know, they like to say that their times are substantial towards, you know, what a technician should be paid. But out there, you've got four of what they call the industry standard time guides. You've got Aldata, Mitchell, Chilton's, and Haynes. And if you take the time of a repair and look through those guides, they're all within 10 to 12% of each other as far as the time, as opposed to a warranty repair that's substantially less. And to top that off, like one of the examples we were talking about earlier, the doing an engine in a half-ton pickup truck, I know real-world experience, multiple master technicians have tried to make the time that they've printed as the warranty standard at, you know, 9.5 hours to pull the cab off of the vehicle, the entire cab off, pull the engine out, transfer over all the parts, put the engine back in, put the cab back on, do all your checks, fill your fluids, do a validation drive. So if you look at it in the fact that they say that you can pull the vehicle in, diagnose it, repair it in the time that they say, if I've got a vehicle that comes in with a lower end engine noise, you know, I may spend 3 to 4 hours pulling a cylinder head off or an oil pan off to find the what they call the root cause of failure. And then once I find that and they give me authorization to put an engine in, that 9.5 hours now turns into 6.5 hours to do all that same work I just listed.
Thank you. Thank you for your additional testimony and again for your service.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Seeing and hearing no one else wishing to testify in Senate Bill 144, I'm going to close public testimony at this time and set the bill aside. The Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Wednesday, February 21st, when we will hear Senate Bill 147, Senate Bill 206, Senate Bill 183, House Bill 57, and Senate Bill 197. As there is no further business to come before the committee, this meeting is adjourned at 2:21 p.m.